Hey, look, it's the first Sunday of Advent. As you can see, all the lights, all the tree. Look, Christmas is around the corner, ready or not. Now is your time to start getting ready. Maybe you've been on Amazon all weekend. We know that's not the meaning of Christmas yet. We're there. We're at Christmas. You can see it all around us. The lights are going up everywhere, right? If you notice here in the sanctuary, we got lights on buildings, lights on houses, lights on trees. Elliot was driving around this week, and he said he saw a Jeep that was decked out with lights. It was covered in lights. And this was at our staff meeting. And then, of course, Cammie, who is very practical and caring, her real concern was, how are they going to wash that truck? And she's absolutely right. I actually never thought about that. I've seen the truck and the lights, and I've never thought about cleaning it. But anyways, a few years ago, it was about this time, I was walking around the mall, and there was a lady there who was walking her dog in the mall, which is, it's just a little weird, but that's okay. We're all right. But she was walking her little dog, and the dog was wrapped in Christmas lights. And I'm thinking of this dog. It's like, man, you can't choose your family. Right? Like the Christmas season is full of light, and it's full of light for good reason. The prophet Isaiah spoke about it long ago, saying, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And these words, they point, of course, to the arrival of Jesus. That Jesus comes and brings heaven's light to the world. The Apostle John puts it this way. He says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Because of Jesus, Christmas is a season of light. And it's why so much of this Christmas season is joy-filled. It is the most wonderful time of the year. We sing it. Right? It's the happiest season of all, because Jesus comes to us with the light of God. For me, Christmas is the most joy-filled time of the year. I love it. Yet, the scriptures remind us that it is the people walking in darkness who have seen the great light. And that the light shines on those living in the land of deep darkness. And so it seems to me that there is another side to Christmas that sometimes we try to ignore, or it's out of our mind, or maybe it's simply the fact that it's easier to talk about happy things than it is to talk about sad things. You see, the light of Christmas is one thing, but what about the darkness into which the light appears? The reality is many people go through the Christmas season like someone walking in a deep darkness. When everyone else feels the light, they feel the darkness all the more. You see, for some people, Christmas is when feelings of loss and loneliness and pain rise to the surface more acutely. They feel them at the very surface. It's a season where the mood matches the 5 o'clock weather, cold and dark. According to the Canadian Mental Health Association, 52%, that's over half of all Canadians, report feelings of anxiety, depression, and isolation during these holiday seasons. And my point is, Advent is about the light of Christ arriving into the darkness of our lives. So it's appropriate as we prepare for his arrival, as we prepare to receive the light of Christ afresh, as we prepare for his second coming, that we consider the darkness into which he comes. And so for the next 4 weeks, this season of Advent, I want to take an honest look at the darkness, at the difficult things that this season brings for many people. Because we typically focus on the themes of hope, peace, joy, and love at Advent, and of course we will do that. This is the light that Jesus shines. This year, through the messages, we will look at the spaces into which Jesus brings his light. Specifically, places of despair, fear, sorrow, rejection. Today, we're going to look at the darkness of despair. And let me say that my hope in all of this is we prepare our hearts for Christmas Eve, when we mark the light that has come to the earth. My hope is that as we look at the darkness, we'll see all the more the light on Christmas Eve. This is about Jesus. Today we're going to look at the darkness of despair. Despair is the word. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. It's on page 247, or you can turn there in your device. 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm simply going to read verses 1 to 5. And here we're picking up the story of the prophet Elijah, his story. If maybe you remember, there's this famous story in Scripture where Elijah has just squared off with the evil King Ahab and Queen Jezebel on Mount Carmel. He's defeated 450 of their false prophets. He's demonstrated God's power. And then we hear what happens next. Hear the word of the Lord, 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me as we begin. Jesus, you know what my prayer has been this morning in coming up to preach. May the power of your word do what only the word can do. Amen. It's not hard in the text, right, to hear Elijah's despair. Verses 4 and 5, he came to a broom bush, sat under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. You can hear his despair. But we need to understand that Elijah hadn't always been in a pit. Because shortly before this darkness settled upon him, Elijah was actually in the light of the mountaintop experience with God, right? He's facing off against 450 of Baal's prophets, and God in that moment works a miracle. Elijah prays for fire from heaven to fall, and it rains down in that moment. You can read the story if you go back a chapter to 1 Kings 8. It's a good read. You can go there this week. But the point is, Elijah isn't on the mountaintop with God for long. Queen Jezebel is outraged because he's kind of made her look like a fool and made her false god look like a fool. She's outraged and she orders that Elijah is killed. And the text tells us that he is afraid. He's on the run, he's in the wilderness, he's exhausted, he's all alone, and quite frankly, he's done. He wants to give up. He's living in the darkness of despair. "I've had enough, Lord," he says. "Take my life." Others in the Bible knew the same darkness. It's familiar in our scriptures, like King David, who wrote songs about the darkness. He wrote lots of songs about the darkness, like Psalm 13, which goes, "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death." It's the despair of darkness. Jonah knew the darkness too. Even after this miraculous kind of rescue from the belly of a fish, Jonah looked at his life and he says, "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." It's the darkness of despair. Job, he was no stranger to the darkness. His life moved from one tragic loss to the next. So he spoke about this day that he was born in a poetic way. He speaks about the day he was born, and he says this, "May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said, 'A boy is conceived,' that day may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and utter darkness claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it." It's the darkness of despair. And then there's Jeremiah, who says, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He's driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. He has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me down with chains. Even when I cry out or cry for help, he shuts out my prayer." It's the darkness of despair. And I say all of this because maybe you have tasted the darkness yourself. Maybe there's been a season of despair that you've walked through. Maybe it's today. Despair is the complete loss of hope. When we think about what Jesus brings, despair is the loss of hope. It's different. Mark this. Despair is different than the feeling of sorrow, which Caden is going to speak about in a few weeks from now. Sorrow is the feeling of loss. Despair is the loss of feeling. Sorrow says, "This hurts." But despair says, "What's the point?" It's when a person can't take it anymore. When life has served up one too many things and you're done, you're defeated, you're ready to raise the white flag. I've shared about a past time in my life when the season of a dark cloud of despair hung over my life. I was 25 years old. I was living in North Vancouver, newly married at the time. And for no apparent reason, I passed out one night. I just kind of blacked out. And what followed was a nine-month battle with a debilitating anxiety and depression. It was debilitating. I couldn't work. I was having panic attacks. I didn't want to be alone, didn't want to be left alone. I was afraid of what would happen if I was alone. You see, no little dog in a Christmas sweater could have made me smile in that season. And I remember going to bed one night, crying out to God and saying, "If this is what life is going to be like, God, I'm not sure I want to live it." It's the darkness of despair. And maybe you're living in this land of deep darkness yourself. Maybe presently, or perhaps it was some point in your past, or maybe you know someone. Maybe you know someone who lives in this kind of place, this kind of darkness. Sometimes a person can't see the light because they're sinking in despair. It could be a mental health issue, like depression. Winston Churchill, he used to talk about his black dog, saying that his dog would follow him around all day and it would lie beside him and sometimes it would threaten to consume him. And his black dog was a way of speaking about a deep depression that he lived with. Maybe you have a black dog of your own. Or maybe your despair is because you feel like you're in a hopeless situation. Something you can't break free from, like your back's against the wall, like you're closed in, like there's nowhere to go, like you're trapped and powerless against the forces that are greater than you. Maybe that's your despair. The dark despair you feel, it could be your loneliness. You might be surrounded by people, but you've never felt more alone. It's the darkness of despair. Or maybe your despair comes at the end of a series of losses. Divorce, the loss of a child, a friend, or a spouse. or the loss of your body's ability, your sight, your limbs. And as you cry out to God, you wonder if anyone's home. C.S. Lewis writes about losing his wife in A Grief Observed, and there he speaks about praying in times like this. And he says this, he says, but you go to God, right? We go to him in prayer, but you go to him when your need is desperate. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. In times like this, Lewis says, prayer is like speaking into an empty room that has no light. And if you've ever been there, you know exactly what he means. You've been in that place. And the point is, as you move toward Christmas, this Advent season, you can be honest about the land of darkness that you find yourself in. There's room for that here. Yet in the darkness, there is gospel. Pastor Michelle, she shared with our staff team this week about taking a tour at some point into a deep cave. And a guide took them into like the middle of this cave. And when they got to the center of it, they turned all of the lights out. And she tried to describe the darkness. And it was almost as though she was describing not something that you saw or couldn't see, but something you felt. That it was pure darkness, the complete absence of life. You couldn't see your hand 2 inches in front of your face. In that moment, Michelle, in some ways, was swallowed up in darkness. But then the guide turned on the dimmest of lights. And that's all it took. Here's the line you need to hear. Even when it's hard to feel. Even when it's hard to believe. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You see, there is a lie that we come to believe in the darkness of despair. And it's the lie that tells us, God is not coming for me. God is not coming for me. In despair, we think God is not coming for me. But let the truth of God's word break through the lie today. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. See, it is the birth of our Advent hope. Jesus is the birth of our Advent hope. In the darkness of your despair, God is coming for you. He has come for you in Jesus Christ. Which means, though the night is dark, the dawn is coming because he has come for you. You see, despair is the feeling that says nothing is ever going to change. There's no turn in my story, that things will always be dark. That's what despair tells us. But the advent of Jesus, the coming of Jesus, it means that your story doesn't have to end in the darkness. That our story doesn't end there. In the Bible, God is called El Roy, which means the God who sees me. God sees you. God sees you. You are not forgotten. Your prayers have not fallen on deaf ears, though you might think they have. That you are the reason God sent his Son into the darkness of our world, and in him is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. Corrie Ten Boom, maybe you're familiar with her story. She was a Dutch watchmaker who lived through Nazi Germany and the Holocaust of World War II. She was arrested by the Gestapo for hiding Jews in her home, and she was sent to a concentration camp. And it was there where she experienced the horrors of hell on earth. She was a woman who knew the darkness of despair. It was before her day and night. And she reflected on all of this later. She wrote, she said this, she said, there's no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And that is what Advent is. It is the love of God stepping into the pit. It is the light of God breaking into your darkness. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And look, I know what it's like. We want God to deliver us from the darkness, not simply to show up in our darkness. We want Him to fix all of the problems so that we can live happily ever after. That's what we want. We want Him to turn the light of no worries on for the rest of our days, but He doesn't. He doesn't do it. God lets us sit in the dark, and it's frustrating and disorienting. Yet, while He lets us sit in the dark, He doesn't leave us there alone. Advent is the reminder that Jesus enters the darkness of your despair. He came into the land of deep darkness that you find in yourself, the land you live in from time to time. The prophet Isaiah describes Jesus this way. He says that Jesus is a man of suffering, that He is familiar with pain. And we get a window into this suffering, into this pain, on the night that Jesus was betrayed. As He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that God would deliver Him from suffering under the weight of sin's darkness, Jesus is feeling all alone, and He turns to His disciples and He says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." You see, Jesus enters the world's darkness, but He also knows how it feels. He just doesn't show up as someone who doesn't understand. Shows up as someone who's experienced it. And I've spoken to many people. In fact, I venture to say that every person I've spoken to who suffers, they don't resonate much with people who haven't experienced that kind of pain in their life. Misery understands misery. And Jesus understands you. Jesus is with you in the darkness. He knows how you feel. But, and this is the important part, we can't miss this. He's with you in the darkness. He knows how you feel, but He also knows the way out. Jesus presently is standing in victory over your darkness. The Apostle John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." You see, on the cross, Jesus let the darkness do its worst to Himself. All of the brokenness that you feel, and all of the world's despair causing sin was placed on His shoulders, on Him. Why? Because God knew we would be crushed by the darkness's weight. That the darkness of despair and the darkness of sin, if left to ourselves, it would bury us in an everlasting grave. So God sent the light of heaven to bury the darkness instead. It's the gospel. And through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, the fate of darkness was somehow undone. The curse was broken. The light won. It won. It didn't look like the light had won. At first, of course it didn't, because it never does. It looks at first like the darkness wins, because Jesus' lifeless body was placed in a stone-cold cave. And for some time, it looked like the darkness would win. That's where you might feel like you're living these days, in a cold cave. But on the third day, on the third day, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. For on that day, Jesus stepped out of the dark tomb into the glorious light. And so know that even if you feel stuck in a cave in the days between the cross and the resurrection, the time will come when the victorious Christ will return. And in the twinkling of an eye, everything will be changed. All will be made new. The sun will rise and shine upon you, and the light will never set again. This is our Christian hope. Jesus is with you. Jesus knows what you feel, and Jesus knows the way. Look, I'm not trying to package up your despair with a pretty little bow to say, there, it's all going to be okay. But I am saying, it's all going to be redeemed. Your time in the darkness is not wasted. Tim Keller says, you don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. You see, it's in the darkness where Jesus actually becomes light to us. And that's what happens in the darkness of our despair. Everything's stripped away. We don't know why, and it doesn't seem fair, but everything somehow is stripped away from us. Everything that is, except for Emmanuel, God with us. But that's the point. That's God's solution to the world's despair. It's for us to know God with us. The advent of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Viktor Frankl says in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, a famous book, he says this, he says, in some ways, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds a meaning. He's saying that when we find meaning in suffering, in that moment when we find meaning in suffering, it is the moment when it ceases to be despair. It's the turn toward hope. And while there are no easy answers to the darkness that you are facing in your life, the one answer that rings true over and over again in the Bible and in the very real lives of those of us who have suffered is that our present suffering, even the suffering, is the medium through which God wants to shine His light into our lives. It's in the suffering that we actually encounter Christ, His power, His love, His discipline, His still small voice. And I wonder if you hear it this morning. His still small voice. The Word of God come to you. Jesus is coming to you. Jesus sits with you. Jesus is giving you just enough light to kindle hope. Do you hear His still small voice? Because sometimes when we can't hear it in our own prayers, He speaks it to us through His church, through the people of God. And friends, it's good that you're here today. It's not by accident. The light has come to all those in despair. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, a son has been given. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, well, maybe Jesus, maybe the sermon isn't done yet, but it's not me who needs to speak. And so, Holy Spirit, we take a moment of silence for you to speak to the hearts of people whom you love. Spirit of God, shine your light into the hearts of men and women in this room right now as we take a moment to bring our hearts bare before you. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd minister to those who are living in the land of deep darkness. And that, Jesus, you would bring your light, simply. That your word would do what only your word could do. We put our trust in you, Jesus. We thank you for coming for us. We pray these things in your name. Amen.